and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Before we comment on the text, there's something we sang this morning I want to share with you. Back when I was a student, which is a lot of years ago, when I was a senior, which would be 33 years ago, I had been in an early morning prayer meeting that met 7 days a week since my freshman year. Early morning was 5:45 in the morning. When my underclass years, people would wake me up and I would go to it. In fact, that first one, though I wasn't a Christian, I was invited to go to this Bible study prayer meeting at 5:45 in the morning. Well, Reveille wasn't until 6:15. And I didn't want to go. But I didn't want to tell this fellow I didn't want to go. I told him I'd love to go, but I didn't wake up at that time, and my roommate would kill me if an alarm clock went off. He said, I'll wake you up. And I didn't know how to get out of it, and that was my start, or middle start, of becoming a Christian. Well, then I went to this for the next 3 years. Now as a senior and relatively a mature Christian in relationship to everybody else, and at the Naval Academy, if you're a senior, it wasn't just being a senior, you had the stripes, you had the authority. And people were sort of, I was in charge of these early morning studies, and people expected me to run them and expected me to get other people up and stuff like that. Well, sometimes I wouldn't get up. And people would come to me during the day and said, how come you didn't wake me up? How come you didn't wake me up? I've had a rough day missing that early morning prayer meeting. I said, don't worry, so did I. That won't happen again. And the next morning I'd sleep in, and then people would complain to me, and I would say, sorry, it won't happen again. But I'd sleep in several days in a row, and finally I went to Eric Nelson, who was running one of the studies in one of the other wings. I said, Eric, do you ever have this problem? He said, yeah. I said, what do? He said, well, I memorized the verse of Scripture. I think it was Luke 22:46. It says, why sleep ye? Rise and... Oh, no, there's something else prior to that. I said, what do? Well, he said, I just asked the Lord the night before to wake me up at 5:30. I said, really? He said, yeah, really. So that night, I asked the Lord to wake me up at 5:30, and I woke up right on the nose, 5:30. I said, boy, this is great. And I did that for several days, and I'd always wake up when I asked the Lord to wake me up. Well, then one day I woke up at 5:30, having asked the Lord to wake me up at 5:30, and I look at my watch, and there it was. I said, oh, well, I can pray just as easy here in bed as I can at the prayer meeting. So I'd say a little conscience-easer prayer, roll over and go back to sleep. So after a few complaints on that one, I went back to Eric, and I said, Eric, you're right. I wake up at 5:30 when I ask God to wake me up. But then I roll over and go back to sleep. He said, well, I had the same problem. I memorized Luke 22:46. Where Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the garden and said, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So I memorized that verse, prayed my little prayer the night before, woke up at 5:30, started to go through this little, when the verse hit me, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And I couldn't get away with sleeping in after that. I'd rise and pray. And it became a real victory. In fact, it became such a victory that I'd wake up singing. And the song I sang was the chorus, that first one we sang this morning. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And when I woke up at 5:30, I would be singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. For the rest of my senior year. Well, I graduated and went home on leave, went to the Far East, got there in time for the Korean War. And I'd have mid-watches. And I remember one time, a seder woke me up for the 48 in the morning. I woke me up about 3:30. Woke me up, and as I woke up, I was singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And I know that seder thought there's something wrong with me. Just wonderful things with prayer. And here it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. I was meditating on this yesterday. What's all occasions? All the time. Anything is happening. Pray in the Spirit. In other words, you don't have to be in a special posture, in a special place, in order to pray.
Even though in Matthew 6 it says enter into your closet, he was just saying that to keep you from praying in a public way ostentatiously. Because God hears you in secret. But you can be in secret on all occasions as you're praying. Praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Again, that hit me hard yesterday. What's all kinds of prayers and requests? Anything. Everything. And yesterday I was just mentioning all kinds of prayers and requests to God. And I mentioned it to Bessie. What a blessing it had been. And she said, did you include me? I said, well, I haven't finished yet. Nevertheless, all kinds of prayers and requests. On all occasions. In the Spirit. Normally, we shouldn't have to make some a negative comment on what praying in the Spirit is, but it is not praying in tongues. It might include praying in tongues, but that's not the meaning of praying in the Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit is authoring your prayer. And he can, or helping you in your prayer, and he can help you in English or French or anything else just as well as in tongues. Praying in the Spirit does not mean praying in tongues. Sometimes people will take this and they'll tie it in with Romans 8:26, which says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself prays for us, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who knows the mind of the Spirit, maybe I better read it. He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, for he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is not praying in tongues. The same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. King James, groanings that cannot be uttered. This is unutterable prayer. Inexpressible. Words cannot express it. So it doesn't include tongues because tongues are words. Tongues are utterances. This is not speaking of that. Groans which cannot be uttered, that words cannot express. This is praying from the depths of your heart by the Holy Spirit praying for you according to the will of God. You don't know what you're praying, but you're not saying anything. This is not a comment that you shouldn't pray in tongues. I'm just saying these two verses aren't speaking about that. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. How many of you have ever fallen asleep praying? Naughty, naughty. It says, with this in mind, be alert. Stay awake. And always keep on praying for all the saints. I'd like to comment a little bit about this praying for the saints. We have, I think, three or four passages in the New Testament that tell us to pray for unbelievers, or are examples of praying for unbelievers. So, it certainly is biblical to pray for unbelievers. The accounts that I can think of where it tells us to pray for unbelievers, one is Jesus' prayer on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a prayer that was consistent of why he's on the cross. He was on the cross to forgive people. That's what he prayed. He was praying for the salvation of people. Stephen, when he died, he also said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Again, a forgiving prayer, a salvation prayer. Another instance is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first few verses. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. We are to pray for all men, for kings, for everyone else, but it tells us why, for God wants all men to be saved. who gave himself a ransom for all. So this prayer for all men, unbelievers, is also a salvation prayer. Who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The last instance that I can think of, and there may be others, would be in Romans chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. We have four prayers for unbelievers in the New Testament. This one, salvation of Israelites. 1 Timothy 2, the salvation of all men. And the two dying. The one of Jesus on the cross and one of Stephen. There may be others, but I'm just not aware of them. But when it comes to praying for the saints, you see a lot of instances and an entirely different character in prayer. There's one thing to pray for the unbeliever, that they may be saved. But as we begin to pray for the believers, we've got an unlimited scope in what to pray for. At the beginning of the epistles, you see the apostle praying for the people to whom he's writing. And at the end of the letter, you see him requesting prayer. And in both cases, it's for the believers. This is at the end of the letter, and he's requesting prayer. And he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Always continually praying for all the believers. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. One of the things that you can pray for me and for everybody you know, that whenever your friend opens his mouth, got that? Whenever your friend, believer, that you're praying for, opens his mouth, words may be given him so that he will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. One of our major problems with opening our mouth and sharing the gospel is we're afraid. So to overcome this fear, we crank up our courage and go knock on doors. But that's not where you get your courage. You get your courage by having your friends pray for you, that whenever you open your mouth, it would just be normal, fearlessly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Even though you've been in trouble for making known the mystery of the gospel before. If you're reminded to pray for me, pray this prayer. That whenever I open my mouth, I will make known the mystery of the gospel. This is requested other places. The apostle requested it in the last chapter of his letter to the Colossians. Verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. He's asking that people would pray for him, that he would do it clearly, powerfully, fearlessly, and all the time. Now, in these prayer requests, he doesn't say, pray for all these unbelievers I'm witnessing to. He said, pray for me that I'll witness to them. Now, why is that? Are people saved by prayer or by the word of God? Well, you say yes. But the scripture says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. People are born again by the word of God. When they hear the message, the word creates faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if a person is saved by faith, faith has to be created in him, and faith is caused by the word of God, and the word of God is caused by sharing the word of God. For some reason, the Lord Jesus decided to send forth reconciled men into the world to preach the gospel. He had opportunities to send angels. But when the angel came down periodically to Cornelius, He didn't say, Cornelius, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you send to Joppa. You get Peter. He'll tell you how to be saved. God didn't shortcut it. Even when the Lord Jesus himself appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road, he didn't say what to do. He said, you go into Damascus. It'll be told you there what to do. And then he picked Ananias to go tell him. God doesn't seem to have passed up Christians as a means of communicating the gospel. So instead of praying for all these unbelievers, how about praying for all the saints that whenever they open their mouth, they may make known the mystery of the gospel fearlessly, clearly. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Pray for the believers. You see a similar prayer in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brothers, pray for us. At the end of each of these letters, he says, pray for us, that the message of our Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored just as it is with you. In the King James, it says, may I have free course, like the word of God will come out of me the same way it came into me. Powerful. But you pray for us, that the word of God would be spread abroad. Praying for the saints spreads the word of God abroad. You have another way of praying for the saints. And that is the way the Apostle Paul prayed for the believers in the early chapters. And when we went through Ephesians 1 and 3, we commented on some of this. But let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. At the start of the letter, the Apostle is praying for the people to whom he's writing. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. One of the common requests I get from believers is they would like to know what the will of God is. How do you know the will of God? Well, the way to know the will of God is have your friends pray for you, that you be filled with the knowledge of his will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, that's all? Yeah, just get all the believers praying for you that you'd be filled with the knowledge of his will. With all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You say, I couldn't handle that. Then don't have them pray for you. But if you want to know the will of God, one of the ways is having the believers pray for you. Again, notice he's not praying for the unbelievers. He's praying for the believers that they'd be filled with the knowledge of his will. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. How would you like to live a life worthy of the Lord? Most of our Christian teaching is based upon being unworthy and being forgiven. But here he's saying, I'm praying that you'd live a life worthy of the Lord to begin with. You say, well, you don't know what worthy of the Lord is. That's a lot. Yeah? Well, Paul's praying. He doesn't pray, Lord, please fill these believers half full with the knowledge of his will. We'd like him to be partly worthy of you. Well, that sounds silly. This doesn't sound silly, but is it real or isn't it? In other words, if God authored the Apostle Paul to pray this, is it something that God would answer? We believe it is. But people don't pray that way. We pray, bless Uncle Joe. We don't pray that Uncle Joe be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Occasionally you run across somebody in the congregation in a certain church who seems to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And it drives the rest of the congregation crazy. And the pastor too. He doesn't want anybody more knowledgeable and more godly than he is. He's supposed to be the teacher. And so, in a lot of ways, we in our Christian culture are keeping people down. We don't want them to be all the way. If all of you were all the way, I wouldn't have to show up here on Sunday morning. Pray for each other. That you be filled with the knowledge of his will. All spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that you would live a life worthy of the Lord. That's not all. And may please him in every way. You know what please him in every way means? You know what please him means? Now, please him in every way. There's no way you you would not be pleasing God. Again, it's not saying, oh, Lord, I'd like my friend to please you part of the time, part of the way. Please him in every way. Look at this next one. Bearing fruit in every good work. Would you like to bear fruit? And would you like to bear fruit in every, absolutely every good work?